Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Check it out, y'all. Week zero is over, and I think that's probably the most exciting week zero in recent memory. Our first top 25 upset. We tracked those all last year, and now, like, who would have thought that our fellow Florida State fans would be wondering what happened this weekend as well. There's also FCS upset of an FBS team, and the 2024 season hasn't even really gotten started yet. What's up, Trash Talkers, and welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. Or if you prefer, you could still call it Ring Knocker Radio. And you could call it two Joes or two O's in an NCO because Joe's here this week. And guess what? We are going to talk about college football and move into the 2024 season. But I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling out of coastal Connecticut, and Triggered Joe is reaching out to us from the home of the Big House. Andrew is our guest today from the College Football Tour, but we'll dive into a little bit more about his backstory before we really get into the show. So, tell us a little bit about yourself, and I think Joe has something first, if you want to jump in, but why travel to all the stadiums in FBS?
Yeah. How'd this thing start?
Yeah.
Once you ask that question, but it's related to your mission, Andrew.
Okay. It started with what you're seeing on my hat right here. So I grew up in Wisconsin, and I grew up there in the early 90s when the program was really turning its fortunes. Barry Alvarez was flipping that program, and I was a budding young teenager finding something to be interested in. And I'll tell you, though, that going there and watching that stadium that was half empty in the late 80s just completely flip around and morph into a cauldron of excitement was precisely what captured me. And and it wasn't just the game itself. It was everything that surrounded the game. It was all the traditions and the pageantry and the colors and the sounds. And Wisconsin is in my top 10 and will always be. Bias, yes, but also still true. And when I got that experience, when I got to college, went to Wisconsin, I started to follow the Badgers on the road, and I began to realize, wow, look at all these other ways that other schools are doing the exact same thing, but they have a different twist on it. This has this tradition, this has this. And it just got me thinking, what is it like everywhere else? And by the time I'd left college, I'd already had about 10 or so stadiums, and I knew so many people were into the MLB and kind of hitting all those. And I thought, who's done the college ones? And there were a few of us who were out there. This was way back in like 2004 when I kind of dreamed up the idea of doing this. There were a few of us, but there was no social media to be able to really find them. A couple websites maybe. And now there's a bevy of us, a lot more, and we all are interconnected and we all know each other, and that's a lot of fun. But it all started with Wisconsin. And it started with the passion and pageantry, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah, that's tremendous. So you and Dan at least tailgated together at Mikey Stadium. How was the experience there? Because, like, me personally, like, I always think Mikey Stadium is probably one of the best stadiums to watch a college football game just because the atmosphere, it's an old military post, you're watching Army play. But what are your thoughts on that visit?
Listen. This weekend, I hit my 109th stadium in my journey. And when people ask me what falls in your top 10, I always, and I'm not just blowing smoke because I'm here, I always put Army in the top 10.
Cool.
No joke. I always put Army in the top 10 because if I'm looking at traditions and I'm looking at pageantry, it is hard to beat the things that you have there. The cadet review, the rabble rousers, the march on, the flyover, the parachute, on Brave Army team, the mule mascot. There are some places I struggle to really come up with a good, solid set of unique traditions to really document. Army, I couldn't figure out which ones to do. I was trying to figure out how to fit them all in. And, and I came back twice last year. I had an off weekend And I came back because I missed some of the traditions due to the rain that I went to the Boston College game last year.
Well, that was so the most miserable game that we've had in a long time. I mean,
that was like
pouring rain, loss on a freaking freak play. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I cherished my off weekends, and I was so looking forward to going to Army and catch it all. I was like, there's that off weekend. They're playing Coastal Carolina. I'm going back. And I usually bring my friends with me and everything. I just booked a flight, went myself, and I just did it. I was there for, I flew in and I flew out the same day, and I just did it. So that's how much I love Army, and that's how much, I will continue to spread that word. As I get towards the end, I can't imagine anything really, you know, bumping them out of the top 10.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear.
Thank God for Barry Alvarez, because I don't think people outside of the Big Ten or college football nerds like myself realize how integral he was. Like, he's the Bo Schembechler of Wisconsin, I believe. Is he still the AD?
He passed the torch in 2021. He finished coaching in 2005 and then finished AD in 2021.
Yeah, Michigan fans were happy to see him stop coaching, because there was quite a while there where Wisconsin, it didn't matter if Michigan was 9-1. You knew what you were getting with them. I remember I was at the game when Michigan was number 11 and they didn't even have Wisconsin ranked. And I don't know why you always have these quotes that are ubiquitous from the color man and the commentator that always remember in your head. And they had a picture of Barry Alvarez and he's walking the sideline like Patton before the game. And they were like, Barry Alvarez got his Badgers fired up and believing they can beat the number 11 team in the country. And as a kid, I was like, you know, something about that rang true, and they won the game. And that Wisconsin, it's like an Army thing. The respect is that you're always going to get their best shot.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because Wisconsin's, most people are surprised to hear that Wisconsin's never won a national championship in football. And, you know, they're only, you know, recently fantastic, you know, the early 90s and on, they just can't cross that hump of consistently beating the Ohio States, the Michigans, the Penn States. They do every now and again, but it's not enough. But like you said, you know, we're not trying to complain. They're not trying to complain about 9-3 and 10-2 seasons, which is, you know, kind of consistent there. But yeah, Barry Alvarez built that kind of culture.
For sure. Like, one of the things that I want to mention, it just made me think about it. You talk about the pageantry and everything else, you know, like Army is known for the tsunami. Wisconsin's known for jump around. You know, what other tradition that like we don't know about because we don't get to travel to all the different stadiums? What's like the hidden gem of those traditions that you've observed since you've been doing this?
Hidden gem. Well, you want to go hidden gem, because I could throw out a lot of ones that I love. And if you want to hear some of the best ones, I will tell you them. But if you want a hidden gem, I will say one of my favorite is the in James Madison. When they score probably the best touchdown celebration you'll find, the entire stadium explodes with purple and yellow streamers.
I've heard about that.
And I was in the midst of it. I was welcomed so wonderfully there. I learned how to appropriately streamer toss. There's a way to do it. Don't ask me now, because I don't remember, but I did it once, and I was on camera doing it. So I'm saving that clip. It was a visual explosion. It was what a scream would look like. It nice. Was fantastic. Not a lot of people have you have cannons that fire, and you have those kinds of things that you see now and again here and there. Army does, but James Madison, that is a back pocket tradition. I think more people should know about. It should be more mainstream.
Oh, that's my secondary favorite team. They made me a lot of money last year. what a fun place to go to school. James Madison must be. Their basketball team was kicking butt and taking names. Their football team had a great season. I love their colors. Like, I was,
yep.
If you ask these guys when we were doing our picks, I must have said James Madison about 5 or 6 times last season, because they were covering spreads and whooping people.
They beat Wisconsin. They're becoming more mainstream, or should I say more mainstreamer?
Ooh, nice. Very well played, sir. Well played, sir. Well played.
So if you had to name 3 or 4, including obvious ones that like stick out in your head as being favorites.
Yeah. So, Wisconsin and Army. And again, I'm dead serious about those, but let's set those aside. Texas A&M hits home runs all the way. Their midnight yell practice the night before is one of the best traditions you'll ever see. Is it cultish? A lot of people will say it is, but but I liked it and it was fun. They welcomed me in. I didn't get any branding or anything. And then Washington is outstanding. I got to sailgate out in Lake Washington. That was fantastic. Penn State whiteout, Penn State experience, whiteout or not, but whiteout is just tops it. Those are a few. Nebraska has some of the most amazing fans you'll ever see. And it's as passionate as can be there. Those are some places that stick out. I could keep going because listen, I love every place. I can find something positive about every place, and that's what I do. I want people that hop onto my website or hop onto my social media to be proud of what they see, to say, that's my school. That guy did that. I love those traditions. I'm not showing empty bleachers and tarped parts of stadiums and slamming this and that. You know, I know that's fun and good and might get some good reaction, but I love to show the positive, and I love to do that. And there's something good everywhere.
What you're doing. It's easy to be negative. You know,
absolutely. That's absolutely
not anywhere.
That seems to be popular because people want to. It's throwing out the bait, you know, to get the clicks and the likes and the follows. And I'll be honest with you, it's hard to. I'm a teacher on the side. Well, I'm the teacher on the side. The sports is on the side. feels like I'm a teacher on the side right now, but I don't have the full. It's not a full time gig, so that's hard. But I'm not throwing out bait. You know, I'm just throwing out. What's lovable about this sport?
Yeah, well, the Big House.
Oh yeah, I've done all the Big Ten. Big Ten's my country. I my first time there was in 2000, and I've been there I think four or five times.
They're a little quiet for a big crowd.
They can be.
It's the alumni. They're a little stuffy. Some of those boosters, man. They sit right next to the student section during the wave, and you can see the students are like having an aneurysm, like get up and do the wave, and the old timers are just like, no.
Yeah, I know.
And so it's a little disappointing, but we did have James Earl Jones as an alumni. So Darth Vader went to our high school or went to our college. So.
Madonna went there. I don't know if she graduated, but she went there.
yeah, he does the introduction when they come out of the tunnel, and all of a sudden you hear James Earl Jones go, "This is Michigan." And we're like, oh, wow. It's a great introduction. So.
Yeah, that's a voice that feels like 110,000 people, doesn't it?
That or there's stormtroopers coming.
Yeah, all right.
For sure. All right, anything? Last time around the horn, gents. Anybody else got a question for Andrew? We really appreciate you coming on, man. I got to say thank you for that because,
I'm interested to get your take on just college football generally, having been to a lot of these places. So, yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Rob.
Are you talking about the status of college football as it stands right now?
Just, I don't know. As we go through the show, just to kind of hear what you have to say about it, because you've been to so many of these places that, you know, as we talk about the games later.
Well, let me tell you, I'm a traditionalist. So watching some of these major changes happen over the years is a little striking to watch. Seeing Oregon in the Big Ten is head scratching, and Cal in the ACC, a team on the Pacific Ocean in the Atlantic Ocean Conference. Yeah. But, you know, things like that are, you know, interesting, NIL, all that. But what doesn't change are those traditions, the pageantry, the culture, the sights and the sounds. And that's going to hold true forever. That's why people flip this sport on, you know, and people can get angry about all the changes, but let's be honest, we're going to have some great matchups coming up, matchups that we only dream of, you know, to know that, you know, the Penn States of the world are going to be playing the USC's on a more regular basis and that kind of thing. I mean, these fan bases are going to get to know one another. I mean, I think it's pretty special, you know? So I'm embracing it. I'm embracing it because the core of this sport isn't changing and it won't ever. and more people are going to start learning about other people's traditions more and fall in love with it even more as a result.
Yep. Yeah, that's awesome. Really great point. I didn't even, you know, didn't have that perspective. Like, there's some things that I like, there's things that I don't like, but, you know, only time will tell, because I think next year with the change, as far as like the $20 million salary cap, for lack of a better term, at all the universities, I think that will change the whole scope of how college football is run. And, you know, the only thing that I don't like is like rivalries getting thrown out the window.
Oh, yeah.
But there are some teams that have had like habitual, you know, it's like the backyard brawl when they realigned everything else in Pitt and West Virginia didn't play for a while. That was kind of disturbing, because that was a game I grew up in watching in high school, and it was a local thing for us. So understanding that those changes are going to happen, but over the years of college football, there have been teams that have played enough times where it's kind of like a, you know, it's like an asterisk, like this is a rivalry. We just don't see it as often as we think that, like the other ones that habitually come up on the schedule. Anyway, we've got some bills to pay, so we'll move into the commercial. Hey, if you are PCSing to Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There, she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find dream homes. And when they are in the market, she provides an exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving anywhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us at Ask for Football this season. She's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Look, even if you're not moving to Fort Liberty, check her out. She's got a little business card on our website. Get in touch with her, and she can help you find a place to live. Back to you, Dan, for the quick rundown of the Service Academy standings.
Yeah, so Army plays Lehigh on Friday starting at 6 p.m. We'll discuss that, obviously, tomorrow on the Army Football Show. But, you know, fired up about that game. Air Force hosts Merrimack at home. Hopefully they will lose. And Navy takes on Bucknell at home. Don't think Bucknell is going to take it to the mids, but I guess we'll see. And Rob has a note in here. The FCS academies do not start until the September 7th. We will obviously talk about them as we get closer to the week. But yeah, for now, all three service academies opening up with winnable games, to say the least.
Yeah, so one of the things we did, we put it out in the socials to get some feedback from the Firsty Club and some of the other folks on social media, and what's going on in North Texas. So I've had multiple people on social media say, check out what's going on with the North Texas with their coach. We were going to have a topic today, but week zero was so good that we're just going to punt on the topic of head coaches that are impersonating, or coordinators that are impersonating head coaches. But I think that'll be a topic we can dive in a little bit later next in the season. But North Texas and South Alabama has been on the top of everybody's mind as far as the American Athletic Conference and football is going. And then, of course, JMU at Charlotte, to go back to your previous point. Hopefully there'll be no streamers in Charlotte, but I'm sure the JMU fans may bring some, because that was going to be an interesting matchup. I think UNC Charlotte is like, they're in a constant state of flux, unfortunately. Even with as good a coach as they have, they're still struggling. But again, what's going on with University of North Texas? Am I missing something, or do I need to deep dive them a little bit more?
I think that game is liable to be, I don't know what the over-under is, but if you don't see 70 for the Mean Green versus the, I believe it's the Jaguars, I'll be surprised, because both those offenses are pretty good, especially South Alabama. Jesus, they put up a lot of points last year. I don't know how much defense is going to get played in that game.
Yeah, that might be more of a traditional Big 12 game than an American Conference. You know, no defense and 60 points on both sides. But, Joe, we know it was a short week. We're going to pause for a second, collect ourselves, and get Joe's Blue Falcon of the Week. What do you got?
Yeah, indeed. It was a short week, but football's in the air, and I'm ready for a whole season of Blue Falcons to emerge. Just give them 3 hours on a Saturday. Someone's going to do it. It's not common practice that I can't put a name on the Blue Falcon of the Week, but there's a first time for everything, so I'm going to go ahead and hand out the award to whoever made Florida State Seminoles their number 10 team in the country, one step beneath the defending national champions, and didn't rank Georgia Tech at all. In all honesty, though, the preseason rankings are always a Blue Falcon for more than one team. The NARPs, non-athletic regular people, don't know the difference. And I guarantee there was somebody that was expecting to see the 10th best team in the country in Florida State. And man, were they let down to the tune of a unranked Georgia Tech team beating your guys. I love a good upset. So good on you, Georgia Tech. I mean, the last time Michigan played Florida State, they lost. So I don't mind watching FSU take the L. But we've got this award for every week, so we're going to hand it out to someone. And for the so-called experts that have Florida State as the 10th best team in the country, come collect your award, because one of you guys is the Blue Falcon of the week.
Yeah. And here's the shame of it all. And I have the note in when we break down the top 10, but I'll just throw this up front, is Florida State is going to remain in the number 10 spot because the AP poll is not voting until the end of week one. So like they have to hang that embarrassment on their wall for another week. You know, that's a bad way to go. Like, is there a way that we can change this rule? Cause it's not good. But going down the top 10, of course, you've got University of Georgia's number one. Is that a surprise? I don't think so. OSU Buckeyes are number two. I mean, on paper, with the amount of money that they spent in NIL, like they should be world beaters. It would be surprising if they don't do well this season. Oregon, I don't know, man. You guys know you know my stance on Oregon. They never let me down. They will get between week 10 and week 13. They will drop a game to a team that they absolutely should not lose to. I'm not worried about them being 11-1 at the end of the season. Maybe they'll be 14-1 because they'll make it into the playoff and win a game or two. But Oregon will drop one. You've got University of Texas. So we've got old Quinn Ewers coming back, leading the team. Like, hey, I don't want to see the guy get hurt, but we do want to see Arch Manning get on the field. I think that guy has a lot of potential. And if they don't get him on the field this season with some quality minutes, he may be going somewhere else, you know. And given the way that Marcus Freeman has been whispering sweet nothings in pretty proficient quarterbacks' ears at Notre Dame, do not be surprised if you see that move. Like, I mean, that's two in a row. He got, he got Riley Leonard to leave Duke last season. And so there's going to be a rotate, and there's probably going to be a revolving door at the quarterback spot at Notre Dame based off of who they can woo. Bama, that's going to be interesting. You know, a Saban-less University of Alabama is number five. You've got his protege in Ole Miss off of the coaching tree from Saban. You've got Notre Dame, as I mentioned, at number seven. You got Penn State and Michigan rounding out the top nine. We aren't even going to talk about the top 10 because that ain't even going to change until next week. But let's dive in a little bit deeper. Like, what did you guys think about week zero? Thoughts?
Well, I took I took FSU to cover, and and I also took Montana State to cover, and that didn't, you know, obviously Georgia Tech won that game. I got to say, Georgia Tech's quarterback had one of the gutsiest, most impressive performances I've seen in a long time. You know, I'm not a Georgia Tech fan. Like my father, if you would have asked him when I was 10 years old where he wanted me to go to school, he definitely would have said, oh, I want my son to be an electrical engineer from Georgia Tech. So I like Tech. Like, I was happy that they won, but what an embarrassment. I mean, oh my God, you know, and you could tell because FSU marched down in the first 2 minutes, put 7 points on the board, looked like they were going to run away with it, and they just let up the gas. I don't know. Somebody's got to figure that out, but I'll be glad my team's not playing FSU this week because I expect they'll have a bounce back performance.
Joe, how about you?
Yeah, you know, in all honesty, I didn't catch a whole ton of action on the gridiron this week. There wasn't a giant sample size, but one takeaway I have from week zero, and this has been true of all season in the past, teams need to stop overlooking Georgia Tech. Does anybody remember the blocked field goal return for a touchdown with no time on the clock? The color man had the what a time to be alive call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for goodness sakes, they have – and stop putting so much stock in these top 25 rankings. Before, I mean, they got Notre Dame in there again. They got Penn State in there again. And – above the defending national champs. Like, I know we lost a lot, but sort of the teams that Michigan beat. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said we. I'm not on the team. Nick would have corrected me there. But sort of the teams that we beat, and there's four of them on this list ahead of Michigan, and it's just kind of like these rankings don't mean anything. In a couple weeks, we're going to figure it out, though, because the Longhorns are coming to Ann Arbor, and that's going to be a war.
Yeah, like
so. I'm touching on basically past and future because wasn't a big sample, but that's about all I got for what I took away from week zero.
I have a takeaway for you if you need one.
Go for it. Yeah.
I was at the Montana State at New Mexico game, and that was the largest FCS team, sorry, the largest favored FCS team over an FBS team. They're favored by 13.5.
Yeah, it was nuts.
And New Mexico came storming out 17-0 and, you know, thought it was going to be a potential runaway, but the Bobcats came back and won under 10 seconds left by 4. So New Mexico kind of won in their own mind. Of course, New Mexico fans were already cheering, can't wait for basketball season. Like, you know, so, but it was a lot of fun though. It was a great, great environment. And Bronco Mendenhall, watch him. He's going to make New Mexico relevant. I think he's a great hire for the Lobos.
I'm embarrassed to say that I was watching that game until they got set up by 17 for the second time. And then I turned it off because I was like, I guess Montana State's not as good as I thought they were. And I look back Sunday morning, saw that they won, and I just, that's amazing. What a time to be alive, and what a game to miss. So, yeah, it was sad.
It makes football, college football, great.
Yeah, that's a great part.
That's true.
You see the big bad guy on the block come smack the little guy around, and all of a sudden he's not going away. And it was just like Army at the Big House last time they came. Double overtime. Michigan barely wins. You know, it's like these teams, when they don't go away and they're like, no, you're going to have to finish this off. A lot of times it'll snatch those teams, a team loaded with NFL talent kind of snatches their heart when they're like, well, why aren't they just bending the knee? And it's like, well, that's why you play the games.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a cool part. Like the one thing that was impressive to me was Kyle Effort. He's a sophomore middle linebacker for Georgia Tech. That dude was all over the field. Like that guy was a boss. And like when you watch him play, that guy is inspirational. And to think that he's just a sophomore in college and he's able to lead a defense and play as well as they did against, you know, a team that was ranked as, like, they easily could have gone in there and be like, oh, we're going to get destroyed. It's Florida State. You know, the other thing that we're not talking about, and it's not in my notes though, is like question for everyone. And this is extremely rhetorical because I don't want to, you know, kick the guy while he's down, but is DJ as good as advertised, or is he, you know, a victim of the transfer portal, because he's been at 3 high quality teams. I mean, you can't say that Oregon State was bad. They were running the table in the Pac-2 last year, knowing everybody was leaving. And now he's playing for Florida State. Or the shoes too big for him to fill, or is he just not that good? I mean, that's a rhetorical question, of course, but it's something to think about out the course of the season, because he certainly is not going to have the same amount of hype on him, particularly like he wasn't very accurate past about 25 yards down the field.
Like it's week zero. Rob, it's week zero, man.
I understand that.
Especially Florida State is like the worst team ever at starting like crap and finishing strong. So
I agree.
I mean, listen, I do hear your point, but it is week zero.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you know me, man. I'm always watching the film. And of course, defense and special teams is essential. Like if you watch the SMU Nevada game, that was a difference. The whole sequence that led to SMU winning that game was more predicated off of a bad special teams play where the kid waved for the fair catch and bobbled it, got it on the 2, safety, touchdown, game over, right? They were in command of that game except for that one little thing that started that whole cascade of events. But moving on, Dan, you got something for us.
Yeah. So if you have watched this show before, you will know that As for Football is sponsored by Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, based out of Chicago. Friends, he is one of the largest VA lenders in the country, going to give you super competitive rates. Craig is going to give you the best deal you possibly can. This matters because I don't know if you guys have bought a house, but that mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates move all over the place. You do not want to work with a guy who's just trying to make a buck off you. They put 2 inches of paperwork in front of you that you got to sign. It's like they're going to take your firstborn if you don't make those payments. I'm telling you, it's very stressful. You want to deal with a person, not with some random big box bank or some mindless website. And also, friends, this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you by getting you the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. So Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Get that money, guys. I mean, I'm telling you. Craig Oxlane, Vice President of Residential Lending. Check him out. Links on our website. You just go to askforfootball.com, click on his little business card, answer a couple of questions. You'll be talking to the dude in a few hours. It could not be easier, and he's got nothing but five-star reviews.
Thanks, Dano. All right, so let's move on to the games of the week. We got football starting on Thursday this week, which is always awesome. And then later on in the season, we get Maction during Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So I don't know if I would want to be on the team and have to play Tuesday and then again on Saturday. But, hey, whatever. It's college football, and we'll see how it works out. But for Thursday night, only really marquee matchup. Again, I'm going to plug this one because I'm like I hear it all the time. If please – North Carolina State needs to beat Western Carolina significantly, because if they don't, if they lose, if they get upset, like I have to hear about it. And North NC State fans are probably just as incorrigible as UNC and Duke. So they just are now hitting the national stage. They've got Grayson McCall as their starting quarterback. They are loaded to bear, and they think this is their year to go pretty far into the playoff, maybe even win a national championship. Only time will tell. The only other game that I would highlight on Thursday night is a matchup. Again, if you're into watching dead bodies getting drugged, you've got Kansas against Lindenwood. And again, Jaden Daniels is coming back as a starting QB at Kansas. That guy was pretty prolific last season. Interesting to see what happened because he got hurt towards the tail end of the year. See how he bounces back and moves forward. Friday night, the game that you've all been waiting for. We'll preview this on the Army Football Show tomorrow. You got Lehigh and Army, 6 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. That is odd. So, again, I'm going to say that one more time. Friday night at 6, because Army usually kicks on noon on a Saturday. So this is an opening game on a Friday night. You've got Temple at Oklahoma. That's a future Army opponent. I don't know how that one's going to go. It's going to be the first.
I can tell you how that one's going to go. Yeah, it's going to be brutal. Ugly.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal. But, you know, hopefully Temple can make it out unscathed. Because, like, we don't – like, we want to see good competition, but we don't want to see the players get hurt. You got Florida Atlantic and Michigan State. I would think that one's a push. I haven't looked at the line on that game. But I don't know. The way that Michigan State has played the last few years, Florida Atlantic may sneak one in, particularly at their place, which would be interesting. Yeah. Moving on to Saturday, your noon kick. Wow, man, this is insane, right? At the Chick-fil-A kickoff game is going to be Clemson at Georgia. That's number 14 versus number 1.
Oh, yeah.
A, does Dabo got to go? I mean, I think there's some people that are not fans of him, but I also think that he's a good coach. They've won a lot of games. I don't know. I think he's got to prove it because he hasn't been in the national championship discussion for a couple of years. Next one, you've got Penn State and West Virginia. That should be a good game. Everybody's thinking West Virginia is another team that reloaded and is loaded for bear. So we'll see what happens on that one. You got Bucknell and Navy. That's normally a basketball matchup in the Patriot League. So we'll see what happens with that one. And then Kennesaw State and UTSA, that's a future Army opponent. North Texas and South Alabama, as we mentioned before. Sam Houston and Rice, that's another one to watch. And all these American Athletic Conference, AAC games are going to be on ESPN+. Plus. So if you don't have the Plus, you might be out of luck. You've got UT Martin versus Kansas State, again, on ESPN+. Plus. ESPN+, Plus is like dominating, other than like the Big 12 and the SEC. Moving on, and then, of course, you've got Notre Dame and Texas A&M on ABC at 7:30. Your nightcap is going to be James Madison and Charlotte. So we'll start the evening games. Then moving into Sunday, so for those of you that don't want to watch the pros, you've got number 13 LSU versus number 26 USC in Las Vegas, 7:30 kick on ABC.
It's an interesting game. What a weird scheduling deal.
Yeah, that's like super, super weird. I guess this is right before that break. So if you don't want to watch that last preseason game, this is actually a good opportunity to watch some college football. And a neutral site, advantage USC just because they don't have to travel near as far. But, you know, LSU tends to be a little bit heavy-footed. And so I would take the over on that one. And I haven't even looked at the line on the game, but I would take the over for sure. And, of course, Boston College against Florida State. And they're still number 10, but that's going to change. I saw a funny meme on social media. There's a guy's car with a broken window. And he's like, yeah, I had two Florida State, Boston College tickets in. Somebody broke into my car and dropped four more tickets in there because they're embarrassed with the performance of Florida State. I think, like Dan says, it's week zero. We'll see what happens. But let's move on to weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
Dana, what you got?
Went 0-2 last week. 1-2 if you were in the on our Patreon and you saw that I picked another game. But anyway, on the show, 0-2. As I said, I enjoyed Georgia Tech FSU tremendously. I was very surprised by how it came out. Montana State also didn't cover. That was a stupid, stupid bet. What can you do? So this week, got to get a little more serious or we're going to be like way underwater. Rice minus 10 at home versus Sam Houston. James Madison minus 6.5 at Charlotte and Boston College at FSU over 48.5. My only note is, as I said, the Noles going to make a major bounce back this week, especially on offense. I would not want to be the Boston College this week. They are going to get smoked.
Yeah, I think that's kind of that has to happen. Or everybody's going to be questioning, you know, FSU's offseason plans.
If they don't win by 50 points, yeah. Like there's going to be riots.
I like that James Madison pick. I almost snuck this in there, but you mentioned it. So I'm going to mention that as an honorable mention. But man, I like West Virginia getting 8.5 points at home. It's the first game of the year. I could really see them giving Penn State a slugfest. And 8.5, two scores. I kind of like West Virginia to cover those 8.5. But I went 0-0 last week because I didn't start at week 0-1.
That's what a pro would do. Any smart person would have skipped last week. Trust me.
Right. Tell the bookies I'll see you next week. No. First, I got to start off with my Michigan Wolverines and the defending heavyweight champions of the universe, Colonel Rob, in case you didn't remember that. I know you were watching. But they're giving 21.5 to Fresno State at home, and I think this could be one of Michigan's three or four shutouts they could pitch this year. That defense is locked up. So I got Michigan probably winning about 31-3, 31-0. Covering a 21.5 point spread, and they were really good at covering last year. Next, I'm going with Oklahoma State at home, covering the 9.5 points against South Dakota State. I think South Dakota State is probably getting a little bit of love on the road at a ranked opponent like Oklahoma State, only being 9.5 point dogs, and they deserve it. They earned it, but I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with that track meet. More weapons, more talent. I think eventually Oklahoma State wins by 10 at least. Finally, and this one may come back to burn me, but I'm going to do something I don't usually do and take the Miami Hurricanes before I've watched them play a single game to make a statement in the swamp against a Florida team that I don't have a whole lot of faith in. The transfer of quarterback Cam Ward is something that I'm going to start right now by saying I think is one of the most unspoken transfers that they're going to start talking about midseason. I really liked Cam Ward at Washington State. I just thought he was on a bad team. So transferring to Miami, I like that move for him. And the offensive line has depth and experience. Their defense is solid, and they'll have the best running back on the field in Martinez on Saturday. So I'm going to take the U minus 2.5 in the swamp to win by a field goal. And when that's was at three, I didn't touch it. But I think the U is going to cover by a field goal. So that's my three.
That's bold, man. Week one in the swamp. That's bold.
Yeah, Florida's. I think Florida's a little bit of a dumpster fire and kind of the washouts for the guys that couldn't get into LSU, Alabama, and they're getting that second. We're getting that second tier talent that Alabama, Georgia.
And, wow! Wow! All right, we'll come back to that next week.
All right, Andrew, you got any thoughts on what you would be picking if you had to?
Well, I will be at the Western Michigan at Wisconsin game on Friday night. I'm not going to give you a pick for the weekend. I'm going to give you a pick for the Badgers this year. No one's talking about Wisconsin this year, and they've got quite. I'm not saying they're gonna be like this incredible, but they've got a great home schedule. They got Alabama coming to town. They've got Oregon coming to town. They got Penn State coming to town. I think they take one of those three. You heard it here, and if you didn't hear it, then good, because that probably isn't going to happen. But I'll tell you, those three, and then I most people are saying 5-6 or 6-5 this year. I like them to get 8 wins.
Okay. That's fair.
And look, I think that's totally based. Yeah.
Like Wisconsin's running back, you man. Like we don't talk about that enough. Like how many 5.5-star, 6-star running backs go to Wisconsin? Like all of them. Like if there's a, you know, if there's like a top running back that is just a power bruiser runner, he's going to probably end up at Wisconsin in that program, and he's probably going to do great things. He may not be the best or worst team in the country, but you know that they're going to have a 1,000-yard, 1,500-yard rusher in that backfield year after year after year. That is consistent for Wisconsin, and that is probably about as unchanging as the wide receiver room at Ohio State, right? You know that those guys are going to have some top-notch receivers. Anyway, moving on. So my picks this week, I missed on Florida State and Georgia Tech, but I am okay because that was a legit upset. And, you know, I don't think anybody saw that coming. I took the over. I was hoping that they would hit more points. I was 10 shy, but that's because FSU didn't get their offense going. And like the amount of ball control that Georgia Tech had, they just ran the ball all over them. I mean, there was a lopsided total rushing yards. And Dan, just for the record, you had two of us tell you this, Ohio or Delaware State to cover against Hawaii. And
they didn't cover.
39.5, man.
Wait, did they? All right. I don't remember what the score was off the top of my head, but I thought that game was pretty close.
It was like 35-14. It was not 39.5. Like they did not
get. Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. I got it. Right.
Yeah. Hawaii.
I took the under. Yeah. I took the under. The under hit. The under?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The under hit. But like for sure, like I knew going in that game, Delaware State was going to cover anyway. Moving on. Yeah, it's 35-14. It was not. So you hit the under, but they didn't cover the spread. All right. So
good thing we're organized here.
Yeah, for sure.
AJ Scott says DSU had it tied in the third quarter, which I find unbelievable.
Yeah, that's insane. That's when the depth chart took over, was in the fourth quarter of the game. But, you know, I'm taking Georgia to cover 13.5 against Clemson. Like, there are people talking about Clemson, talk about Clemson being a sleeper, man. I just don't see it. I mean, they'll win 10 games this year, but I'm just not confident in, like
– Like a sleep at the wheel sleeper or – because that's they've been.
That, like, that's a fair point, you know, because I think Clemson's going to struggle out the gate. You know, everybody knows Georgia's last performance. They walloped Florida State. Like, and now looking back to last season, maybe that 63-3 drubbing in the freaking bowl game was an indicator of what was actually coming for Florida State this year. Who knows? Only time will tell. But I'm taking Georgia State to cover 13.5 against Clemson.
Shouldn't have protected them from Michigan.
And then going back to the previous game that Joe just discussed, you're going to take the U to cover. I'm going to go on the opposite side. I'm going to say flat out upset. Florida's going to beat Miami in the swamp. Like, look, say what you want about Florida. They always play well at home.
That's,
you
know, true.
I hear there's a great TGI Fridays in Jacksonville, but I also think that the Gators will get it done, and this might be their one. You know, this might be their one time that they can actually piece it together against a decent opponent. But again, it's the Florida matchups, and those are the things that are always tricky. You know, we used to watch those back in the '90s. Florida State always used to be a barn burner. Now it's kind of shifted to Florida and Miami, and that's just because they're like the also rans in the peninsula down there. And so I think it's more of an even matchup than people are going to think, but we'll talk about this next week for sure. Dano, you want to talk about bandwagon sports real quick?
So we have a picks league. If you're with Azure Football, it is free to join. We had the bandwagon sports guy on here last season. It's just go to bandwagon sports. It's an app, download it for your phone, find Azure Football 2024. And then the sign up code is AFF2024. And if you can't remember that, there are instructions both on Patreon and on AzureFootball.com, or just reach out on Twitter and we'll get back to you in the fullness of time. Free to play, but I believe the draft ends on September 1st. So you got to hurry up. And if you're a member of the Firsty Club, you definitely got to get in there because you want to win the cruiserweight title. Yeah, it was fun last year. So
yeah, we had a blast. And again, it forces you to manage your teams, because if you're not watching football and you're just guessing,
Yeah.
And they do 6 weeks update. So that's the other part. So you got to make sure that you double check your standings after the updates, because teams will fall in value or raise in value depending upon how they're playing during this
season. Yeah. So you pick using a salary cap. It's really interesting, but you have to watch the fullness of college football. You can't just watch the best teams. You have to actually watch the group of five and pick some like better lower tier teams, which is what makes it cool.
Yeah. All right, this brings us to the end of College Football Roundtable. Hey, college football is back. Strap in, get ready for the season here with Astro Football and for both your Army football and your college football coverage. You can register if you haven't signed up for the Bandwagon Fantasy Sports League, and all the information, again, is on the website. Hey, look, just a quick plug for our partners on the video version of this podcast. We put this video show out every week with the veteran Trash Talk Nation, and if you have not plugged into their suite, and when I say suite, they have a whole, not sweet as in sugar, but sweet as in a whole bunch of building blocks of their community. They have flavors for everyone. They got sports gambling on UFC, NFL, and they just had the Veteran Trash Talk Hour. So if you are looking to tie into a community that you can't potentially be with in the physical space, tie in with some other veterans, hear their stories, mental health recovery stuff, physical recovery stuff. And you might just find somebody that you can connect with on there. That's how we got Joe on the show. He's part of the Veteran Trash Talk Nation, even though he's wearing a Tecmo Bowl t-shirt. I think that's part of their merch.
Barry Sanders on it.
Yes, but he's got his Barry Sanders shirt on. But either way, hey, we just wanted to plug the Veteran Trash Talk Nation. Great partners for this. We're going on year three, if you can believe it. Holy cow. Like, we've been doing this for a while now, but as always, check us out, check them out, and this has been the As for Football College Football Roundtable. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dano Icabesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut. Andrew, I'm assuming you're in Wisconsin because you are
in Chicago, actually, home base in Chicago.
Home base in Chicago, right around the corner from Craig Oxane. But anyway, moving on to Trigger Joe calling out of the home of the Big House, and this has been the College Football Roundtable, or Ring Knocker Radio, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks.
Beat Navy.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Join the AFF team for more hot takes and college football analysis. You can sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe. Or you can follow us on all social media platforms at Ask for Football. And as always, beat Navy.